I haven't seen anything that I've liked in so long. And it's, I don't hate movies. It's just everything I sit down to watch, I expected to like Lucy. It sucked.
Really?
It was, yeah, me too. But like the first 10 minutes of the movie, this guy she's dating is trying to convince her to go in with this case, which is full of the drug that ends up getting, she mules. She's trying to like, oh, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. And he cuts in like scenes of a gazelle and a lion. So it's, oh, Scarlett is the gazelle. These people are the lions. Yeah, they're going like to that. Eat her. And they do that constantly for 10 minutes. And you're like, what the? Dude, I get it. Like, this isn't art house. This is just dumb. Stardate, movies on up. You're welcome. What's up? That feels a lot better. I have to start every episode with a what's up at the top because it is our favorite Space Teens episode. Dave was begging me to start with a star date, and that just ruined everything.
And Ryan doesn't make up stuff on the fly as well as some other people.
As well as
even though I screw it up every time, too.
As well as my number two for this episode, Mr. Dave Bisella.
Yep, that's me. I'm the number one. Was that his name? Riker?
Yeah, number one, but I would rather call you my number two.
Okay.
Because that's funny. That's a poo joke right at the top, too. That's Dave. I'm Ryan. We are Movies On Up. You're welcome is our tagline for this week. Short, simple, but very apropos. If you can figure out what movie that came from, send your guess to us in an email, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can leave it on our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviesonup, or leave it on our Twitter page, if that's a page. I don't know. Does Twitter have a page?
On up,
at moviesonup on the Twitter. At any rate, send your guess to us electronically through space and time. If you are correct, if we pick you, we will send you a prize package, which at some point, I'm sure,
it'll be out of this world.
And just in advance, you're welcome. As I said at the top, I said a lot of things at the top, but specifically, our favorite space teams for this week in honor of a space team movie that Dave and I are both pretty excited about, that being Guardians of the Galaxy. Slams out of hyperspace and into movie theaters on Friday. I think we're both going to make some attempt to see it very soon.
I'm seeing it on Thursday.
He's seeing it Thursday. I will see it Friday. When will you see it? Let us know. We don't really care. But because of Guardians of the Galaxy, we are going to run down our five favorite space team movies. I don't really know what a space team movie is, but I didn't have any problem coming up with five.
You can tell when I make up the list because they don't make any sense. This is the hardest list to make because it's so easy. Because once you start thinking about space teams, we always try to leave off the obvious choices. And I think there's a dozen or so obvious choices. You could probably guess what my one and two is right now if you've ever heard me talk about movies. And I was going to leave them off, but I can't. If you've never heard me talk about movies, then
this is a good episode for you.
Yeah, you'll learn a lot
about
me.
Because somehow Dave is going to try and tell you that the Gremlins are a space team.
Gremlins and Die Hard are my one and two.
I cannot wait to hear how this goes. But before we get to your Gremlins and your Die Hard at number one and two, what is your fifth favorite space team movie?
My number five goes to a galaxy far, far away in 1984, directed by Stuart Raffel, starring Robert Urich, Mary Crosby, and Michael D. Roberts. It is The Ice Pirates. I was five when this movie came out. I remember seeing this in the movies twice. My dad rarely took me to the movies, but he took me to see this
twice.
It's a spoof movie, essentially. It's in the same vein as Hot Fuzz. Hot Fuzz is spoofing action movies, but it's its own contained story. And that's what The Ice Pirates did. And I just really, really like this movie. Like, even now, like I saw it in theaters almost 30 years ago, and I still think about this movie all the time. Water's very rare. Pirating ice cubes is a thing. And then a princess hires Robert Urich and his crew to help her find her father. And Ron Perlman shows up in this movie, Angelica Houston, John Carradine, Bruce Vilanch. It's just a crazy, just funny movie, and it's directed like a sitcom episode, and it's very, very spoofy, very tongue-in-cheek, but I think almost to the point where too much. But then you get to the climactic battle scene, where they're just aging along the way, and it's just, it's funny. Like, you have the good guys and the bad guys fighting, and they're just aging into old people because of the planet they're on. Very, very funny movie. Very, very good. It came out at the right time because Star Wars was right at the peak. This is what, 2 years, a year after Jedi?
I was not paying attention what year.
84.
Yeah, it was 83.
Yeah. So, I mean, space movies were at a peak because there were a bunch of good ones out there at the time.
Oh, I've got one that came out pretty soon after
that. Yeah. Yeah. So, this one I couldn't do a space team movie and not put this on. So, my number five is Ice Pirates.
My number five, I sort of unintentionally teased a couple weeks ago. I don't really know what the episode was, but you had a movie that reminded me very much of my number five, which is from 1986. Absolutely. Is a space team movie. It's Space Camp, directed by Henry Winer, starring Kate Capshaw, Leah Thompson, Tate Donovan, and a very young Joaquin Phoenix, who happened to be very obsessed with Star Wars in that movie. I think my fascination with Space Camp as an actual thing, not necessarily a movie, started with Double Dare. As I recall, that was always one of the grand prizes, was that this winning team would get to go to space camp. Spoiler alert, I never won Double Dare, and as a result, have never gone to space camp. But I did see the movie, and I've had more than one conversation with Kevin Sternavant, so I feel like I've been to space camp. The space team in this movie, the Blue Squad, as they were kind of just referred to, didn't start out as the most cohesive unit. Tate Donovan is the mission commander, and he, very much like Kevin Sternavant, didn't seem to want to be at space camp or care very much. Leah Thompson was very much into it. She wanted to be the commander, and damn it, was just the pilot. But nothing will band together a bond of teens like getting accidentally launched into space. It is your typical cheeseball 80s movie. Really, really terrible hair. The only thing maybe worse than the hair in this movie is the special effects, or lack thereof. But it holds a very special place in my heart. It's as close as I'll ever get to Space Camp. I don't know if they still have Space Camp, like if you can still go. If you can, I mean, it's not like I have kids or any kind of grown-up responsibilities. Maybe I will just haul off and go to Space Camp. And maybe Leah Thompson will be my Kate Capshaw. That'd be great.
My number four is what happens if you send a bunch of kids from space camp into space without directions. They might get lost in space, from 1998, starring Gary Oldman, Matt LeBlanc, William Hurt, Mimi Rogers, Heather Graham, Lacey Chabert. That's a solid cast right there, especially for 1998. This came up before because I put it on, I don't know, a year ago or so. We did an episode about favorite TV shows that became movies. This is a weird one because for a TV show adaptation on the big screen, it's not that great. It doesn't bring any of the anything I liked about Lost in Space, the TV show. It's all missing here. It's just a bunch of people with the same.
No robot.
There's a robot.
Well, I mean, it's not the same.
Not the same. But yeah, maybe more of a family than a team. But you got LeBlanc and Oldman. They aren't related. So as an adaptation of the Lost in Space TV series, I don't think it's very great. As a standalone sci-fi film, I think it's pretty good. And I think it got a lot of crap because it isn't what people expected it to be, because it isn't, you know, it's a modern update of the show. The show was
very aged.
Very aged. And this updated it into a cool little sci-fi film. And what's cool is that they didn't approach it to, it didn't really feel like a tentpole. Like, it felt like a one-off sci-fi film, where generally when you're adapting TV shows, you're hoping it becomes a franchise because you're using that name. And I don't think they took that approach with this, and I feel like it worked out because it is, there are twists and turns. That Matt LeBlanc's watchable. Like, it's a good sci-fi movie. Like, I really like Oldman. He gives a great performance. William Hurt, Mimi Rogers are good. The cast is good, and they show up. Like, Heather Graham, yeah, she's had her moments, but she's also had really, really good moments. And this movie is more positive out of her than the more recent Heather Graham stuff. But I'll stand by it. I really like Lost in Space as a sci-fi movie. I had to leave a lot of teams off because I feel like they're obvious, so we'll mention those later. But Lost in Space was just kind of the one that kind of got thrown in there. But that's my number four.
My number four is an actual space team comprised of real spacemen. It is 1995's Apollo 13, directed by Ron Howard, starring Tom Hanks, Bill Paxton, Kevin Bacon, Gary Sinise as actual spacemen, and Ed Harris. I guess this movie really makes the argument that there really shouldn't be a 13 anything, no 13th floor in a hotel, and definitely not a 13th Apollo mission. Obviously, based on real events, I think that Ron Howard did an awesome job in recreating the tension that must have been felt by not just everyone really involved in the mission, but really the country as a whole. As great as Tom Hanks is, and the rest of the guys that were actually a part of the mission, yeah, it's a space movie, and all the astronauts are great, but the fact that they made it home proves that they are a good space team. But the movie actually belongs to the folks that are left on Earth. Ed Harris as the mission commander and Kathleen Quinlan as Hanks's wife both picked up best supporting noms for this. To say that this is a movie about astronauts, but it remains grounded, may seem kind of cliche to say, but it's true, because you have these two characters that maybe, I mean, I'm going to guess that for most of us, we can't really sympathize with what it would feel like to be in danger in space. But I think most of us can understand being worried for a loved one. And I think that Harris and Quinlan both do an awesome job of giving you that kind of way in to the story. Really, really a sneaky good movie. I remember being very into space movies when this came out. It's in like fifth grade. It was real. Most of the space movies I liked involved laser beams and maybe some aliens that may come up later. But I mean, this was actual events. And I think that the tension I was able to appreciate as a middle schooler, that was an awesome movie. I think it might have been the first Ron Howard movie I ever saw. Really, really good flick. One of the ones that I think we watched in school or something. Pretty educational. And good flick. Apollo 13.
My number three?
Yes.
Yes. My number three, it's a fantastic space team movie. You could almost argue that it's the epitome of a space team movie, as Michael Jordan teams up with the Looney Tunes to take on another space team in 1996's Space Jam. You talk about getting things that shouldn't go together and making it work. Space Jam did exactly that. You took Michael Jordan, who really didn't show any aspirations for acting. He's just kind of the best at what he did. And you throw him in with Looney Tunes, which really hadn't had successful big screen success in a while. And you create what has gone on to become a classic. I mean, everybody knows Space Jam. Everybody's talked about Space Jam. Everybody's seen Space Jam. Most kids know about Space Jam. So it was almost like a perfect meteor shower of stuff that just came together and worked. It's a lot of fun. I'll have my kids watch Space Jam. We just haven't yet. Hoping to introduce them to Space Jam 2 with LeBron first. And yeah, then we'll go back and watch the crappy episode 1. But I really liked it. And for what it was, I mean, you had the cameos. As a kid in 96 that was really into the NBA, like I was, you know, that's Barkley and
Larry Johnson, I think.
Yeah, LJ and, yeah, like,
Larry Bird. Muggsy Bogues.
Yeah. Like it was really cool because that's back when, you know, NBA on NBC with that John Tesh theme, you know, like that was a big time in my life. And Sundays we would just watch NBA basketball. So to see some of those guys up there on the big screen in space fighting aliens, I thought it was pretty awesome. And I'll always love Space Jam.
Maybe as much as people remember the movie, that's another one of those soundtracks that I think everybody of our age had.
Yeah. I mean, I Believe I Could Fly was off this.
Yeah. Yeah. Big time R. Kelly. That Seal, Steve Miller redo,
yeah,
was on there. It's one of those ones, if you haven't heard it in a while, just like check it out on Amazon and just listen to like the 30-second previews of whatever,
or
of all the songs.
Read the track list. I'm sure you know more than not.
Oh, definitely. But it'll bring back some memories. And that's, I mean, for me, I think everybody, like, the Space Jam theme song, I'm sure everyone can remember. I remember more about the soundtrack than I do the movie. I do remember a little bit of Bill Murray.
They won.
The Space Jammers won?
Yeah.
There was it the Toon Squad and the Monstars?
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember the Monstars, but couldn't really remember Michael Jordan's team. My number three, not a lot of fun and games going on in 2013's Europa Report, directed by Sebastian Cordero, starring Daniel Wu, Charlton Copley, and Michael Nyquist. Simply put, this might be a found footage poor man's version of a space team movie that Dave may have on his list, because I know he likes it an awful lot. But with that being said, I think it's a pretty good movie in its own right. Found footage makes sense in this movie because these missions are documented as best as possible. It's kind of based on some semi-solid science that there may actually be liquid water on Europa, which is one of the moons of Jupiter. And I could see a world in which NASA would actually undertake this mission if NASA had any money to do missions. Spoiler alert, there are some mishaps that take place during the mission on a similar scale to what we see in Apollo 13. This one feels like hard science fiction, not really fantastical, but hard sci-fi grounded in what I feel like is a kind of believable story that, you know, we could actually see in our lifetime, not necessarily a manned mission to Europa, but I know we've sent probes out that way, and I got to admit, like, I would be pretty interested to see, you know, if there are some kind of alien life forms under the ice surface of Europa. Spoiler alert, this movie answers that question.
I like this.
There are.
I like this for, I mean, I didn't love this movie, but I like Charlton Copley enough, and he's really good in this. I feel like this and what was the Liev Schreiber one, Last Days on Mars, both kind of came out very close to each other and both kind of went under the radar. This was the better of the two for sure, because that one, The Last Days on Mars, was pretty terrible. But I liked it. I like Copley. Now we're going to get predictable. My number two, it's a movie I've talked about many, many times. I try to put it on any list I can. It's a movie version of my favorite TV show ever. So I might have put it on that list also, along with Lost in Space. But my number two favorite space team movie is Serenity, based on the show Firefly. Mal Reynolds is one of my favorite TV characters of all times. He's a great captain. He's a kind of a modern day-ish Han Solo. Like,
yeah, I'll give you that.
Without the
coolness.
Not without the coolness, but
yeah, without
the
coolness,
without
the awesome
trying to be posted up, pasted out as like a good boy. Thinking about Mal Reynolds makes me mad when I think back to the
that Han
shot
first. Yeah.
Because they change it to Greedo shooting first, because without that, Han's just a murderer. Who cares? He's a space pirate, essentially. Like, I don't need him to be likable. Mal, in this movie, shoots three unarmed men throughout the entire movie. Like, and I don't care. I want him. I want on his ship. And what I always liked about Firefly, and the team dynamic works so well. Everybody has their specific role. There's nobody that's other than, you know, Doc and River, but I mean, he earns his keep by being the doctor. Then you just have his sister, who she earns her keep in this movie anyway. But I like it. You have mechanic, you have pilot, you have the guns, the hired gun, the captain, the mechanic, the second hand, the pilot. Like, it's
the hooker
who's just along for the ride, and then the shepherd that's along for the ride. But in the movie, they're not really along for the ride yet. But I think it had to make people take Joss Whedon seriously as a movie maker, because, you know, he's had good success on TV, but then he put together this movie, which is one of the better sci-fi movies in the 2000s for sure, whether you like the show or not. And that's where it was so good, is that it's a nice introduction if you don't know the show, but then if you followed the show, you're not sitting through stuff that you already know. Like, it's a nice, the introductions are so brief and short, they're enough for a newcomer and not enough to bore the oldcomer. And I mentioned Chiwetel as the operative is one of my favorite movie villains of all time. The fight scenes, the action, the way the Reavers come into it. I could go on and on about how much I love Serenity, because this is a perfect, like, sci-fi movie to me. This is a perfect space movie, and it's an absolute perfect space team movie. So I tried to leave this off because it's an obvious one, but I couldn't. It'd be like going to the zoo and not taking my kids. Like, I just can't do it. So
it'd be like me leaving Star Wars off this list.
Yeah.
Which happened.
Yes. So I'm more true to my loves.
Indeed. I did actually see Serenity before I saw Firefly, and I didn't feel lost at any point. I was aware of the show, had never seen 2 minutes of it, but was interested in Joss Whedon, and I like me some space movies, so I went to see it very early on in its theatrical run, and it was years later until I finally went back and watched the show, and it didn't really tamper my enjoyment of the movie. And when I went back and watched the show, yeah, I went back and saw the movie again after that, and I did enjoy it a little bit more, but I think everything you said about it being a good introduction to people that hadn't seen the show, but at the same time, not making people that were fans, you know, not dumb you through some stuff. So, very good movie. Not surprised that it's on your list. You may not be surprised at my number two. My number one and two movies probably are from the greatest space team franchises of all times. And you may not consider the men and women of the mobile infantry as a space team, but they absolutely are in Paul Verhoeven's Starship Troopers from 1997, starring Casper Van Dien, Denise Richards, Dina Meyer. These folks in the mobile infantry tend to ply their trade planet side against an armada of razor-pincered bugs. They're a space marine force. There is a movie about space marines that probably could make a lot of lists, and it's tremendous. It's not on mine because I felt like it was a little bit obvious. And I, chips down, I love me some Starship Troopers. This is one that I may try to work on any list I can. I think we can, Dave and I would both agree that Verhoeven did some really good stuff with RoboCop. We both like that movie a lot. I would argue, and I might be the only one doing so, that Paul Verhoeven is a goddamn genius. He's so subversive in what he does, whether he's taking on corporations, which he was doing in RoboCop, or fascism and warmongering like he did in Starship Troopers. He's so over the top with it that there were a lot of critics at the time that weren't paying close enough attention and thought he was actually glorifying the fascist way of running a country or a planet, as it turns out in Starship Troopers, and not really poking fun at them. I guess it's kind of like maybe the snake eating its tail. It's so far over the top that if you're not in on the joke, it just seems like a real dumb meathead action movie. But in actuality, there's a lot more going on than that. He's not a good, but a great action director. RoboCop, you look at this. Total Recall. These are some of my favorite action movies of all time. All have a sci-fi spin to them, but really, Starship Troopers is the only one. It's my favorite of all of them, and it's the only one I could use for a space team. And I love this movie. And Co-Ed Showers. I mean, what more do you want?
I had this on my also-rans. It wasn't going to make my top five, and I knew you'd bring it up.
No, absolutely.
I knew you would. I don't have the love that you do for this movie.
Most people don't.
I like what it was trying to do, but my favorite thing about this movie, it's so much more fun to watch if you imagine that it was a practical joke on Casper Van Dien, to where everybody was told, this is just a fun movie, it's tongue-in-cheek, just go with it. But they told Casper Van Dien, dude, this is Paul Verhoeven, $100 million budget. We're going for Oscars in this. So, like, you're leading this Oscar movie. Because he gives it his all. He gives it probably about 170-10%. Like, he gives way too much in this movie. Where everybody else is kind of along for the ride.
Nobody else is really that good. I mean, in fairness, like,
But they're all better than him.
Yeah, they're all better than him. I mean, Ironside is really good. NPH is great in his role.
I love NPH in that.
Yeah, but I mean, everybody else is just kind of like
Dina Meyer and Denise Richards.
Yeah.
He's so over the top, and it's, I don't feel a sense of tongue-in-cheek in his performance. Like, I feel like that is Casper Van Dien.
That's the genius of CVD.
And that's why his career took off after this movie. And he's
he was in the third one.
Because what else is he
he's
doing?
He's the star of this trilogy, except he
but
wasn't in the second
one. I think it's fun watching just to imagine them pranking him because he came to play. And everybody else is just like, all right, they came for the pay. And it's
Johnny
just,
Rico.
Yeah, it's such a dumb movie. My number one, not though. It's a very much a space team, much like Serenity. You have a ship where everybody has their purpose. You have the mechanic, the botanist, the doctor, the captain. so on and so forth.
Spoiler alert, this is the one that came to mind, and that's why I put Europa Report on, because I feel like these are kind of cousins, in a sense.
Yeah, the Europa Report is the much, 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 much less good cousin of 2007's Sunshine, directed by Danny Boyle, written by Alex Garland. I absolutely love this movie. This movie blew me away the first time I saw it. A few movies have the kind of effect on me that this had the first time I saw it. I think it's an absolute perfect movie. I really do. People get on it because it takes a turn you don't expect, but I don't want to know what's happening. Like I like things I don't expect to happen. I like that it turns into a different kind of movie, and I like that the whole thing it's saying is like, oh, you know, it's not the sun that's killing mankind. It's mankind that's killing mankind. And just in its own little way, like, to say that, it's just so powerful. And this was actually the birth of the McAvoy turn, even though McAvoy was the third one to make the McAvoy turn. Because I used to hate Chris Evans until this movie, where he absolutely blew me away. And I've liked almost everything he's in since. Like, I'll at least watch Chris Evans in anything. What I like about this movie, and I could say it about Serenity too, Serenity, the deaths in it mattered. Maybe more so if you've watched the show. Like,
yeah, I really didn't care so much.
See, I think that was a payoff. Like,
yes.
That was the one where if you watch the show, you know these characters are main characters.
That would have been sad.
Yeah. So if you're watching Serenity for the first time, they're just random deaths, like, yep, in any Space Team movie. But in Sunshine, that's why I always say, like, I like Deep Star 6 so much, too, because the deaths matter. You get to learn these people. You get to learn what they do, what their purpose is, and you get to know these characters. And they're none of them come across as just thrown in there just to kill. Everybody has their purpose. You know what it is. You understand how they get along. So when they die, it means a lot more because they're not just dudes in yellow shirts or red shirts or whatever it was that are just randomly thrown in there just to die. The team is so small, and you get into that team, and then when you start losing them, it actually means a lot. So, yeah, I love it as a sci-fi movie. I love it as a horror movie, even though it's really not. And I love it as a Space Team movie, even more so. But, yeah, I absolutely love Sunshine. It's a top three movie ever for me. So I could not put it on here.
Yeah, and that's why I thought I was being tricky with Europa Report. Because I think a lot of the things, I mean, obviously, I like Sunshine more. But I think a lot of the things you said about that, with the deaths mattering, everybody has their own role, is very similar to Europa Report. I think if you really, really like Sunshine, more people have probably seen that. If you really like it, you know, check out Europa Report because it's of a similar ilk. It's not as good, but if you don't go in expecting Sunshine, I think you'll be okay. My number one is another movie that I like a lot as well. You know, you said Sunshine is kind of a horror movie. Yeah, this is a perfect horror movie. It's a perfect sci-fi movie. It's a perfect Space Team movie. It's damn well perfect. It is 1979's Alien, directed by Ridley Scott, starring Sigourney Weaver, Tom Skerritt, Ian Holm. In 78, Carpenter made Halloween, which I think is an absolute perfect horror movie. In 79, Ridley Scott made Halloween in space. There is nothing about this movie that to this day doesn't hold up. Whether it's the alien, still creepy as hell, has given me nightmares for probably 25 years. The crew of the Nostromo, much less astronauts as the folks of the Apollo mission, certainly not the soldiers from the mobile infantry. They're like just space truckers, totally not prepared for the kind of shitstorm that they get themselves into. And if you look at, you know, the Alien franchise, which has been viable for 30 years, you can kind of make the argument to a certain extent that each movie has been not as good as the one before it. And it's taken 30 plus years to erode what was established with Alien. I don't think I'm breaking any news here to anyone that this is a really good movie, but when I thought of space teams, I just kind of started thinking about crews. And again, everybody in Alien has their, you know, you have the captain who's not the hero of the movie.
He's kind of not a good captain either. Like,
not particularly good. I mean, obviously, like, from watching the movie, you know, Sigourney's got her shit together, and she is kind of the leader and definitely becomes a leader when Captain Dallas vanishes. But you do form an attachment to everyone in the crew because you get to see them. You get to know them a little bit before, spoiler alert, they all die. But I thought this was an absolute, for everything that Halloween did, you've got your strong heroine that's able to carry a movie. Alien did the same exact thing for sci-fi movies, and it is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah, this one, it was also, I mean, obviously I thought of it. Alien and Aliens both could be in my, I mean.
I like Aliens. I think it's a good action movie. Sure, it could be a space team movie too, but in a world that Alien doesn't exist, yeah, Aliens is great.
Oh, yeah.
But the movies are so different.
Yeah.
And I was only going to put one on, so I had to go with Alien.
Yeah, I mean, they both came to mind. I liked it because John Carpenter threw Laurie Strode out there as the heroine in Halloween. That's fine. We've seen female heroines in Halloween, but what Ridley Scott did was he upped it. Yeah, he had a female lead in a horror movie. He also had a female lead in an action movie, which even to this day doesn't have it a ton. I mean, yeah, Lucy last week, but you can count on one finger the kind of movies to compare it to over the last decade or so. To me, it was an obvious one, and I think we both went kind of obvious near the end, but
it's hard when, it's,
especially on this list, because if you hear space team movies, you're gonna think of a bunch. Like my also rans are some that should be in my top five, but like A New Hope, I think is a great space team movie. You see the team come together, you see them not get along, and then you see them accomplish something. I think of the Star Wars movies, that's the best space team movie of it. Spaceballs, obvious one. Star Trek Into Darkness, I like a lot.
Yeah, there were no Star Trek movies made the list. I mean, Into Darkness, and I think the original reboot was very good. The original Wrath of Khan, I think, was tremendous.
Yeah, and then Prometheus, it's in the Alien tip. If I'd liked the first half of the movie as much as I liked the second half, it would have made the list. I feel like if you can get through the first hour or so of Prometheus, you're in for a treat. But if you can't, I don't blame you, because I just was not into the first part of Prometheus. Explorers popped into my head, but I just put it on a list a few weeks ago when we talked about Little Boys. And then one that is kind of out there, but I couldn't put it on the list because the movie's not so much about them. Deep Impact, the non-Armageddon
the
asteroid movie.
Yeah.
It was Ron Eldar, Jon Favreau, the crew there, the crew that goes up trying to break up the asteroid or meteor or whatever it was. I really like that, and I think their scenes are some of the best in the movie, but the movie has so much going on that I couldn't really consider that a space team movie, just a space team in a movie. But I wanted to at least mention it because I really like the astronaut team in that movie.
I left off Galaxy Quest because I thought it might make your list. You talked about Lost in Space, and I think that would have been a great time to wedge in Galaxy Quest, because that's Galaxy Quest not being an actual show, but it's about actors that were on a fake television show that then actually get put into space, a la, you know, maybe
Three
like
Amigos.
A space camp or,
yeah. It's Three Amigos in space.
Sure. Yeah, actually very much so. I didn't have a lot of also-rans, because I didn't have a lot that I cut from the list. There were, you know, five that popped in really early on. I knew I didn't want to put Star Wars in, and I was worried that you might have Galaxy Quest, so I left it off.
Hitchhiker's Guide's another one I left off. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. It's a weird one. That's a fun one, though. I like that movie, but it just didn't make the cut.
Yeah, I guess Space Odyssey is another one that, I guess the space team, not really the star of the movie, Hal kind of steals that one, but I kind of wanted to mention that when you talked about Sunshine, because it does seem like it takes, towards the end, it does take a Space Odyssey turn where you're, at the end of each one, you're like, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah, I like Sunshine a lot more, though.
Well, I do, too. What do you like? What are your favorite space team movies? We'd love to hear about it. moviesonup@gmail.com. Actually, let's not even just say space team movies. If you just want to send Dave and I an email that says, what's up?
Just say hi.
Yeah, you can do that too.
Fill the space in our heart.
That's going to take a lot of emails. We're going to fill the space in your ears next week with a discussion episode about not one, but two movies.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Those would be the movies.
And I'm sure we'll talk about the animated one that came later, too.
Probably. Although, as much as I may try not to get us to do that, Dave will be captaining that ship. So, until then.
Keep it up.